Since 1937, the Lights of Spiritual Guidance has been proclaiming the love of Jesus Christ. We seek to lift up Jesus, who brings light into a darkened world. Thanks so much for listening to this broadcast of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance.
Well, there are people never receiving anything from God at all, and they are shaken from their believing. When they don't see results, they quickly fall. But don't you waver, keep on a living in the way God wants you to. Don't get discouraged, keep on a giving. Soon it will come back to you. Keep on casting your bread upon the water. Soon it's gonna come back home on every way. Keep on casting your bread upon the water. Soon it's gonna come back home on every way. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Soon it's gonna come back home on every way. Keep on working, seeking the kingdom, instead of working for your need. Keep on sharing the love of Jesus. You know growing comes from planting seed. Keep on casting your bread upon the water. Soon it's gonna come back home on every way. Keep on casting your bread upon the water. Soon it's gonna come back home on every way. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Soon it's gonna come back home on every way. Keep on casting your bread upon the water. Soon it's gonna come back home on every way. Keep on casting your bread upon the water. Soon it's gonna come back home on every way. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Soon it's gonna come back home on every way.
Good morning, and thanks so much for joining us for this edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. Now, this weekend, I'm finishing revival services in Gold Hill, North Carolina at the Wesleyan Church. Close those services out on this Sunday morning, and I do cover your prayers as we finish the revival there, as well as your prayers for the upcoming revivals. I'm going to be in Chester, West Virginia, October 15 to 18, and then October 22nd, I'll travel down to Sharpsburg, Georgia, to the Church of the Nazarene for two services on Sunday the 22nd. Then October the 29th through November the 1st, we'll be traveling over to Mattoon, Illinois, to the East Side Church of the Nazarene. So we're busy during the month of October in revival services, and I do cover your prayers. It's hard to believe we're now into the month of October. It's my birthday month. later this month, I will turn 77 years old, and that's hard to believe. God's been faithful, God's been good, and I am so thankful for his blessings in my life. So would you just continue to pray for Loman Ministries, for good health, and for traveling mercies as we continue to do what God has called me to do at this stage and season of my life. Again, thanks so much for listening today, and you already know if you listen on a regular basis that we depend upon our listening audience to keep this program on this radio station. So if you would please pray about supporting the Lights of Spiritual Guidance and Loman Ministries, you can write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201, or go to our website, lomanministries.org, and you can give through the PayPal or Venmo tab there. Thanks so much for considering that. It'll mean a lot and help us defray the expenses of radio time and publication expenses for the various aspects of Loman Ministries. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much for our listening audience today. I know that there are some who are dealing with difficulties right now. They've sent letters and asked us to pray for grandchildren and family members. There is sickness that abounds all around us, it seems. And I pray that you would touch those who are dealing with medical issues, touch them in a special way, I ask. Continue to bless this program and Loman Ministries, and we'll give you the thanks and praise, for it's in the name of Jesus that we ask all of this. Amen and amen. May God bless you as you listen today.
Chronicles chapter 12. Going to read verses 1 and 2 and then skip down to verse 22. These were the men who came to David at Ziklag while he was banished from the presence of Saul, son of Kish. They were among the warriors who helped him in battle. They were armed with bows and able to shoot arrows or sling stones, right-handed or left-handed. They were relatives of Saul from the tribe of Benjamin. Verse 22. Day after day, men came to help David until he had a great army, like the army of God. These are the numbers of the men armed for battle who came to David at Hebron to turn Saul's kingdom over to him, as the Lord had said. From Judah, carrying shield and spear, 6,800 armed for battle. From Simeon, warriors ready for battle, 7,100. From Levi, 4,600, including Jehoiada, leader of the family of Aaron, with 3,700 men, and Zadok, a brave young warrior, with 22 officers from his family. From Benjamin, Saul's tribe, 3,000, most of whom had remained loyal to Saul's house until then. From Ephraim, brave warriors, famous in their own clans, 20,800. From half the tribe of Manasseh, designated by name to come and make David king, 18,000. From Issachar, men who understood the times and knew what Israel should do, 200 chiefs with all their relatives under their command. From Zebulun, experienced soldiers prepared for battle with every type of weapon to help David with undivided loyalty, 50,000 men. From Naphtali, 1,000 officers, together with 37,000 men carrying shields and spears. From Dan, ready for battle, 28,600. From Asher, experienced soldiers prepared for battle, 40,000. From east of the Jordan, from Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, armed with every type of weapon, 120,000. All these were fighting men who had volunteered to serve in the ranks. They came to Hebron fully determined to make David king over all of Israel. All the rest of the Israelites were also of one mind to make David king. The men spent 3 days there with David, eating and drinking, for their families had supplied provisions for them. Also, their neighbors from as far away as Issachar, Zebulun, and Naphtali came bringing food on donkeys, mules, and oxen. There were plentiful supplies of flour, fig cakes, raisin cakes, wine, olive oil, cattle, and sheep, for there was joy in Israel. The text for the message tonight comes from the lips of the Apostle Paul. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. In 1996 in Nashville, Tennessee, the first week of January at the Opryland Hotel Complex, 4,000 baseball coaches gathered there for their annual convention. Coach John Scalinas was the keynote speaker. The coach was 70 years old and 5 years retired from college baseball coaching. He began in 1948 coaching baseball. The 78-year-old man shuffled to the stage to an impressive standing ovation, wearing dark polyester pants, a light blue shirt, and a string around his neck from which hung a life-size home plate. After speaking for 25 minutes, not once mentioning the prop hanging around his neck, Coach Scalonis appeared to notice the snickering among some of the coaches. Even those who knew the coach had wondered where he was going with this, if he had simply forgotten about the home plate hanging around his neck. Then finally he said, "You're probably wondering why I'm wearing home plate around my neck. I may be old," he said, "but I am not crazy. The reason I stand before you today is to share with you baseball people what I have learned in my life. Do you know," he asked, "how wide home plate is in Little League Baseball?" After a pause, someone offered more of a question than an answer. 17 inches? "That's right," he said. "How about Pony League Baseball?" Another long pause. 17 inches, someone volunteered. "That's right," the coach responded. "How many high school coaches do we have among us tonight?" Hands went up all over the room. "How wide is home plate in high school baseball?" The answer came back, 17 inches. You're right. And you college coaches, how wide is home plate in college? 17 inches, they responded. And minor league, how many minor league coaches do we have here tonight, he asked? How wide is home plate in the minor leagues? 17 inches was the response. How about the major leagues? How wide is home plate in the major leagues? 17 inches, the answer came back. 17 inches, he confirmed. His voice bellowing through that great hall. What do they do with a big league pitcher who cannot throw a baseball over a 17-inch home plate? And he gave an answer to his own question. They send him to the minor leagues. The chuckles gradually faded. As the 4,000 coaches grew quiet, the fog lifting as the coach's voice began to unfold and his message began to ring true in their minds, he turned the plate toward himself and using a black Sharpie pen, he began to draw something. And when he turned it toward the crowd with the point upward, a house was revealed. Complete with a freshly drawn set of windows and a front door. He said, "This is the problem in our homes today. This is the problem with our marriages today. The way we parent our kids with our discipline. We don't teach accountability to our kids anymore. There is no consequence for failing to meet the standard. We widen the plate." Then at the top of the house, he added a small American flag. "This is the problem in our schools today. The quality of our education is going downhill fast. Teachers have been stripped of the tools they need to successfully educate and discipline our young people. We're allowing others to widen the plate." Silence. Then he replaced the flag with a cross. "And this is the problem in the church, where powerful people in positions of authority have taken advantage of young children only to have such an atrocity swept under the rug for years. Our church leaders are widening the plate for themselves, and we allow it." He concluded, "If I am lucky, you will remember one thing from this old coach today. It's this. If we fail to hold ourselves to a higher standard, a standard that we know to be right, if we fail to hold our spouses and our children to the same standards, if we are unwilling or unable to provide a consequence when they do not meet the standard, and if our schools and churches and our government fails to hold themselves accountable to those who serve, there will be one thing to look forward to." And with that, he took home plate and turned it around, and it was black. "Dark days ahead," he said. The coach died in 2009 at the age of 91, but not before touching the lives of thousands of young men and coaches. His message was clear. Coaches, keep your players, no matter how good they are, your children, your church, your government, most of all, yourself, at 17 inches. Don't widen the plate. Now here's the question of the hour for us. I know that was a bit of a long introduction to the message. But here's the question for us tonight. Have we tried to widen the plate around the church? When it comes to serving God, have we changed our sense of accountability? Have we forgotten what it really means to be faithful to the things of God? What does it mean to be a member of the army of God that we talked about here in this passage of Scripture? I think there's hardly a more clearer explanation of what it means to be a member of the army of God than this passage that I read in your hearing a moment ago in 1 Chronicles. Every phrase, every description of the 221,000 men gathering to support David paints an unmistakable picture of one thing. They were there to do one thing, and that was to establish the throne of King David over the people of Israel. Make him king and make Israel the nation that God intended for it to be. And by the way, if you study on further in the passage, they accomplished their mission. How did they do it? We can learn from them. When you go back to the passage, you look at verse 32 of 1 Chronicles chapter 12. It said, of these men that had gathered to make David king, men who understood the times. They understood the times. And I submit to this congregation tonight that we, the people of God, we must. It's absolutely essential that we understand what God is trying to say to our generation. We cannot shade the truth. We cannot coddle people. We cannot just be afraid that we're going to offend somebody with the Word of God. We've got to speak it and speak it forthrightly, speak it boldly, yes, with the love of Jesus in our heart. But we must understand what God is trying to say to this generation, and the mouthpiece that He is going to use will be you and me. I'm not an alarmist. I'm a realist. You cannot observe current events and read the headlines on your iPad or your computer or of your local newspaper, if you still have one, and not know that we're living in the last days. I mean, we're rushing headlong into incredible events that are going to take place. And God only knows what's going to happen next. Matthew 24 is a mirror image of the headlines of our day and age in which we live. And Paul warned Timothy. He said, know this, Timothy, in the last days, perilous times will come. Years ago, a noted author by the name of Leonard Ravenhill was once asked the question, do you believe that we are living in the last days? And Leonard Ravenhill replied to that question with this answer. He said, absolutely not. We're living in the last seconds. We've been living in the last days since the feet of Jesus elevated from the face of this earth. And it goes without saying tonight that we have never been closer to the second coming of Jesus Christ. And we must understand God is wanting to reach out. He's wanting to bring everybody that He can into that ark of safety before it's everlastingly too late. We must understand what God's trying to say and realize that we're His mouthpiece. We're His vehicle to share the gospel. We must also understand what the world is trying to say to the church. I know that the church has taken a hit by our culture. And I know that Christianity is the one religion where many out there in our culture who are not Christian condemns and has no time for. All the other religions are tolerated. But Christianity is one of those religions, one of those belief systems where our society is ready to put thumbs down on and not tolerate. We are censored on every turn. But I believe, from my vantage point, the world's reaching out. I believe they're hungry. We didn't know that man over at the restaurant Tuesday morning. We didn't know that man. But he heard us talking. He saw the book that the men are reading and studying at that prayer gathering, breakfast gathering. He pointed to it. He acknowledged it. I believe people are hungry. It was our privilege to pray with that man before he walked away from our table. Did he say, no, I don't want you to pray with me? No. He said, I'd appreciate it. I'd be honored. And that's the way it is in our world. There are more people out there who are hungry to know what you and I have than I think sometimes we actually realize. And I will tell you this, all the Christian media and all the technology that we have at our disposal cannot replace one witnessing child of God who stands up and talks about Jesus Christ. I lived in Nashville, Tennessee for 18 years. And I had at that time, I've always been a car guy. I like cars. And at that time in my life, I had a 1986 Alfa Romeo two-door convertible model was the Graduate. And I was in a revival meeting in Lawrenceburg, Tennessee, about an hour and a half away from Nashville. And so that particular Saturday night, I decided that I'm going to drive my Alpha down to the revival meeting. Beautiful, beautiful day. Sun was out. Temperatures were just right for convertible driving. And I got my car out, and I started toward Lawrenceburg, Tennessee. And I had to stop on my way at Columbia, Tennessee, and I got gasoline there. I pulled up there to the gas pump, and I remember pumping the gas. And I started toward the door of the little store there where I would pay for my gas. And as I came to the door, an attractive young lady held the door open for me.
I'll finish the story and continue the sermon next week. Don't forget to write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. May God bless you. Our time has come and gone for this edition of The Lights of Spiritual Guidance. I do hope you'll take a few minutes to write us that letter of support so we can stay on your radio station. You can write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201, or go to our website, lomanministries.org, and you can give through the PayPal tab or the Venmo tab on the website. I do hope you'll find a place to worship this weekend. In the state of Illinois, I know you would be welcome at the Church of the Nazarene in Murfreesboro and Faith Chapel in Carrier Mills. In the state of Ohio, Trinity United Brethren Church in Fostoria. And in the state of Kentucky, I know you would be welcome in any of the churches of the Kentucky Mountain Holiness Association. In the state of North Carolina, Charity Baptist Church in High Point and Mount Gilead Methodist Church in Trinity, along with Friendship Baptist Church in Willow Springs. And here in Columbus, Indiana, where this program is produced, Bethel Wesleyan Church, Flintwood Wesleyan Church, and Columbus Free Methodist Church. Till the same time next week, don't forget, my friend, I'm still praying for you.